I am Planta on the line in Vancouver. This is the commentary.ca. To mark Remembrance Day, I'm pleased to have on the program now Mark Zelke, the noted historian, is a prodigious author, and he's been on previously for a couple of his books. The first time he was on, he discussed his prize-winning book For Honor's Sake, which was about the War of 1812. Last time he was on to discuss his book Brave Battalion, which was about the 16th Battalion, Canadian Scottish, during the First World War. I've asked Mr. Zelke on today to reflect on Remembrance Day, what it means to him and what it should mean to all of us. Other than his books, other than the books I previously mentioned, he's written eight books as part of the Canadian Battle series for Douglas and McIntyre, each book about a significant Canadian contribution during the Second World War. Alan Twiggs compared him to Pierre Burton. According to Alan, he's an essential BC author, and Jack Granatstein has declared him the country's leading popular military historian. His website for more is zelke.ca. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program from Victoria, Mark Zelke. Good morning, Mr. Zelke.
Good morning, Joseph. Good to hear from you.
Thanks for joining us. I guess the first time you're on was 4 years ago for the for Honor's Sake. And we just met each other recently at Alan Twigg's book party, right?
That's right. Yeah. Which was a great time.
Yeah. What was that like to be included in that book as an essential BC author?
That was very humbling because I guess particularly because my work, you know, there's not a lot of it that focuses directly on British Columbia, and so that was one of the things that was surprising to me, and just that as Alan said, you know, there was 20,000 possible candidates for him to select, and then he was selecting 150 people total. So, it was a great honor to be put amongst those, you know, up there with people like Bill Kinsella and other great writers like George Bowering and stuff.
How many books have you written?
21, and then the 22nd is actually at a publisher now. It's a book for readers who are language challenged, and so is a literacy book that I've done, taking the Battle of Ortona, my book on Ortona, and turning it into something that is much shorter and more readable for young males who are struggling with reading.
Well, what's that process like? It just sounds fascinating to take something that you've written. It must be difficult to have to sort of adapt that.
It was. It was really an intriguing process for me. I'd never done anything like that before. And so Ortona, of course, is like all of the Canadian Battle Series books, is a very detailed book, very closely examining the battle in all of its minutiae. So here I was suddenly presented with, okay, we want you to do a book about this battle, but it's got to be 20,000 words, and it has to be very simple language and short sentences so that challenged readers can grapple with it. And yet, at the same time, my publisher it's Orca Books. They didn't want me to lose the essence of the horror of the battle itself. So it was an interesting process. So what I did do is I sort of looked at it and thought, well, okay, there's certain veterans, soldiers within this story who I've got quite a bit of material on, and they show up again and again and again throughout the Battle of Ortona. So I used them as my main focus characters and then shaped the rest of the story around them. So it had a bit more of a novel feel to it, but still historically accurate. And I'm quite pleased with the results. We're actually talking about continuing to do quite a number of more of these kind of books.
And it must be gratifying that a publisher is willing to take a book on something important like this and present it to new readers.
That's right. And it's Orca's first foray into doing a nonfiction book for this market, because generally new readers, as you say, they've used fiction. All of the publishers who are players in this market, you know, are thinking that fiction is what reaches out to them mostly. And so it's an adventure on all of our parts to see, you know, will this work resonate to these kind of readers, and a lot of these are young adults as well, they're or even teenagers. So if we can reach that group with stories about World War II that are compelling to them and make them interested in history, I think that's going to be a great success.
Now, the Canadian Battle Series, are 8 books already on that?
That's right.
Yeah, and have you, is that series finished now?
No, I'm working on currently on another one for it. There's at least 3 more, possibly 4, to finish the story of Canada's army in World War II. So I'm working right now on one about the breakout from the Juno Beach, the Normandy campaign after 1st of July through to August 23rd, 1944, when they closed what was called the Falaise Gap.
Are you surprised at how the series has been received? I mean, these books have sold well, haven't they?
Yes, they've done very well. On to Victory, for example, has just recently gone into a second printing in hardcover, and that's always great news when that happens. And that was the most recent of the books, which was about the liberation of the Netherlands. It's been a fascinating experience for me because when I started, I never envisioned this as being a series. It was originally one book that I thought I was going to write, which was Ortona. And that came about because I was living in the Okanagan at that time, and Remembrance Day rolled around, and I always participated in the Remembrance Day ceremonies in Kelowna. And after, in small towns particularly, after the ceremony, everyone goes to the Legion, and you can spend some time talking with the vets and things like that. So I was down there at the Legion talking with some veterans. And these guys started talking about this battle they had fought in Ortona in Italy, this little town on the Adriatic coast, and how awful the battle was, the fighting in the streets. It was something they'd never experienced before or after. And I was thinking, well, this is interesting. I thought I knew quite a bit about Canadian military history, but I knew nothing really about this battle. So I went and looked around and couldn't find anything that had been written about the book, no other books on it. There was a little thin thing from the Canadian War Museum that was maybe 40 pages long, and that was it. And I started thinking, well, this is wrong. There should be a book about this, and somebody should write it. And so then I thought, well, okay, I guess I could write it.
Yeah.
And away we went.
Yeah.
And so then that book came out, and it did quite well. It was popular. It was well received by the veterans and quite well received by the public. And that gave me the courage and motivation to think I would do more. And that was originally, I thought just I would do the rest of the Italian campaign that the Canadians were in. But by the time I finished that, I realized I wanted to do the entire Canadian Army experience, and on we go. And thankfully, Douglas and McIntyre have been very supportive of this as a publisher.
Now, Remembrance Day is a big deal for you?
Yes. Yeah. I always, I will tomorrow be down at in Victoria. Our cenotaph is in front of the BC Legislature, and on the grounds there across the street from the Empress Hotel. And so I'll be down there. In recent years, the turnout has been quite great in Victoria. We often have several thousand people turn out to the cenotaph, and which is very good. And we still have a small and always diminishing each year crowd of veterans who come, and then they participate in, after the cenotaph ceremony, there's a march past that goes up past the Empress in front of the Inner Harbor. And so the local military bands and stuff like that lead it, and the different militia regiments are involved, and then the veterans march along. And it's a great opportunity to see the veterans and get out and show them our gratitude.
It's a moving experience. I've been to the one in here in Vancouver a couple of years ago. And you just can't help but be moved by it.
Yes, it's quite, especially the whole minute of silence. The here in Victoria, we have the local militia regiment is an artillery regiment, and so they bring one of the guns down to the Inner Harbor, and they fire a very slow 21-gun salute to the veterans, and there's a lot of just very emotional material or experience that happens there, and I think it's something that everyone should try and do if they can, is to get out to it.
Yeah, indeed. Throughout the Lower Mainland, there are not only in downtown Vancouver now, you can go, in South Vancouver, they've got one at the Mountain View Cemetery. They've got one, out in Coquitlam and the sort.
Mm-hmm.
What should Remembrance Day mean to us?
I think it's a time for looking back at our history in Canada. We tend to like to think of ourselves as a nation that has been a very peaceful nation. And while we've been a nation who hasn't gone out looking for wars, we've been, like, because of the affairs of the international world, we've been involved in some major wars, and we've made a major commitment to those wars. World War One and World War Two were total wars for Canada, where the large percentage of the population were in uniform and went and served overseas, and many of them died and never came home. And they were fighting for things we that make our society today, the freedom and that we enjoy and stuff. And I really think we need to pause and reflect on that these generations, and it's going on even today, that there are Canadians who are putting themselves at risk on behalf of the rest of us, and that it's an easy way of showing that you're aware of that and of showing your gratitude for the sacrifice that they make.
Yeah, we've been engaged in Afghanistan now for I guess, what, 9 years?
9 years.
Yeah, and it hasn't struck me until very recently. Whenever you'd hear of a casualty, and they would report the name of the person, and then they would give the age. Now, I'm 28, and most of the people, most of the casualties that are being reported are people younger than I am, and so it gives me pause.
Yes.
And it's one way that this war has hit home for me.
That's right.
And you go ahead.
Yeah, because it's your generation, effectively, is the one over there that's fighting, and that's a very telling experience to look at. What could be me.
Yeah. Did you think that we recognize the fallen from this war during Remembrance Day or during the year as much as we are, the veterans of the First and Second World Wars?
I think there's a tendency not to, and I think that's something we need. A person needs to pause and sort of give their head a slight shake and reconfigure, because like reboot, I guess. Because I do think that we need to be looking at the number of Canadians who've died is relatively small in Afghanistan when you look at a 9-year period compared to World War II or World War One or Korea, but it's still a significant number. And more than that, and what we don't get as a statistic is the numbers that are coming home who are wounded, and that is quite high comparatively. Again, so there's a lot of young Canadians who their lives are being changed irrevocably by the experience of going over to Afghanistan.
Yeah, and we don't know how many do come back, right? And it's sort of, you think to yourself, are we recognizing these veterans?
Yeah, and that's right. And I think I've noticed that the Remembrance Day ceremony here in Victoria, they've now added in the prayer part of it, having prayers to the soldiers serving in Afghanistan and the ones who have fallen there as well. So I think there's a move towards that, and certainly in the March Past, there's a lot of the veterans of Afghanistan are participating in that march. A lot of them are still in the militia as serving soldiers as well.
I read somewhere the other day on my Facebook, someone had written that they don't wear a poppy because it glorifies war. And it infuriated me just a bit.
Yes. I don't understand that sentiment at all, because I don't think it glorifies war at all. It's a tribute to the soldiers who've fallen in our various wars. And I was really struck when I've been in Europe traveling. I guess before I ever went to Europe the first time, I thought of poppies as being, you know, used in Flanders fields, so, you know, that's where they grew,
yeah.
was in Belgium.
yeah.
And yet now, having traveled in all of the battlefield areas the Canadians served in Europe, I've been through every one of them, one of the things that struck me is there's poppies everywhere. And they are, these red poppies just show up again and again and again. And so to me, the symbolism of the poppy is so strong because of the factor that wherever soldiers fought, they, in World War II and World War I, they were seeing the poppies around them.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier how we view ourselves as Canadians, and we view ourselves as a rather peaceful nation, a nation of peacekeepers and the sort. But I'm struck when I think about this, just how the war experience has changed Canada so.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because, you know, I always look at, like, World War II particularly, and I've talked with this with veterans, and I've talked to veteran groups about this as being my impression, and they've confirmed it in their minds that's how they view it as well, is when those guys came home, and the women as well came home, they came back to a Canada that had changed dramatically because of the war. When they went to Canada in 1939, was a largely agrarian community. We were an agrarian nation. People lived in small towns. You know, Toronto was not even a big place. When they came back, it had transformed into an industrial nation, feeding the military need of England and Canada. So you had this transformed economy, and you also had these fellows, when they came home, they had left in the middle of the Depression, the Great Depression, the biggest recession that we've ever had in our history. They came back, and they said, we're not going to have that ever again, that sense of hopelessness that we faced. And they set about to build a more modern society. And really, like all of the things like the social welfare state that we depend upon and that often now people are very critical of, was built by that generation that came home from war.
Mark, you're good to do this. I was thinking, looking at the calendar a couple weeks ago, that there should be someone on the program to mark Remembrance Day, and the first person I thought of was you, and having been here, I guess you were here a couple of years ago, at this time. Thanks for this, Mark.
Thank you very much, Joe.
The website's for more, zelke.ca. Mark Zelke on the line from Victoria in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.